All right, so I'm Linda Saw, and I want to welcome you tonight to Meditation 101. This is the fourth class in our series of five. And raise your hand if you're here for the first time. Chris. Awesome. Well, welcome. Yeah, and it's fine to jump in anytime. I'll do a little bit of an overview of some previous topics we've covered in the earlier classes. And then, as I was saying, our last class will be next week, which is July 3rd. So hopefully you all will be in town and can still join us for that one as well. Just a quick reminder about cell phones. If you have a cell phone, which I imagine you all do probably, put it on silent or vibrate or do not disturb mode. The classes here at Kadampa Center are recorded and, oh, thank you, Chris, and usually streamed, which means folks that aren't able to come to this space can watch it and, you know, somewhat participate in class. So if you have a comment or a question or we have a discussion, there'll be a microphone that goes around and we ask you to talk into the microphone. And I know that's uncomfortable for many of us, but if you can do that just so those folks that are streaming and also for the recording can hear those comments and questions as well. Okay. Yeah. Are we live streaming, Chris?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go to YouTube and then go to Media Kadampa Center.
Okay. Three separate words.
Yeah. Everything is there. Okay. I'll just hit that one.
So what did you say, Chris? Just so I can say it in the microphone, go to YouTube.
Yeah, and then Media.
Media Kadampa Center for the streaming, or live streaming. Okay, thank you. All of our handouts for this course are online as well. So if you go to kadampa-center.org and under Spiritual Program, then find Meditation 101, the handouts with all of the meditations we've been practicing so far will be there for you. So you can pull up those and either print them out or just use them online. Let's see here. Yeah, so it's kadampacenter.org and then Spiritual Program, Introductory Programs, and then Meditation 101. All right, so last week we talked a little bit about a couple of different meditation types. And so kind of the big two types are analytical and stabilizing meditation. So analytical meditation, just as a recap, uses our thought process. So we're actively thinking of a topic or inquiring about something that we want to delve into deeper, intentionally giving thought to a process or, you know, even a visualization, which we'll talk about later in tonight's class. So you're going to think on it, reflect, use memory, contemplate it. So it's a very kind of active meditation as far as the mind goes. And then there's the stabilizing meditation, which is the other type. And this is a concentration meditation. So this would be where you hone in on one thing, laser-pointed focus. You'll often hear it called, there's several different names, concentration meditation, single-pointed concentration meditation, placement meditation, where you're placing your focus on one thing, or calm abiding. So all of those are stabilizing or concentration meditation. And then within that, so those are kind of the two big topics, types of meditations, but then there's other types as well. We're going to talk about visualization meditation tonight. A breathing meditation is also a type of meditation. We also talked about, let's see, some obstacles, which there are many, obstacles to meditation and some of their antidotes. Anyone remember who was here last week, some of those obstacles? My favorite is laziness. It's like, oh, I don't want to do it. Oh. But then there's some antidotes. So laziness is a big one. The antidote to laziness is just thinking about the benefits of a meditation practice, you know, and what it's doing for you. Forgetting your object of meditation is another obstacle. So, you know, you're sitting there, you're thinking about something, and then suddenly you're thinking about your grocery list or whatever, what you're going to have for dinner tonight. So the antidote for that is to just simply bring the mind back to your object or your meditation. And that's a huge part of meditation, as we've talked about, is just bringing the mind back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, over and over and over. And that's a huge part of meditation. So when that's happening to you and you think, oh, I can't do this, I'm doing it wrong, well, if you're aware of that, then you're absolutely doing it right. So you're bringing your mind back over and over again. And the word meditation in and of itself simply means to familiarize. So the more that you do this, the easier it becomes. So the more you're able to bring your mind back over and over, the easier it will become. And then you'll find that you're doing it, you know, maybe less and less. And you're able to hold that concentration for a longer period of time. Another obstacle to meditation is mental excitement, where the mind is distracted or too energetic, and we talked about some antidotes to this. One is check your posture. You know, are you sitting with your head really high? Are the lights turned up real bright? You know, did you just drink a huge cup of coffee and you're like, whoa? So some of these things, you know, then then bring in the antidote. So turn down the lights if your mind is too energized. Meditate with the eyes fully closed. We talked about having a little bit of light if there's dullness. And then also just checking your posture. Maybe tuck in the chin just a little bit and bringing that energy a little bit more downward focused. But checking your posture is always a good one. The mental dullness, which is the opposite, is kind of mental laxity or sleepiness. You know, you're meditating, you're just like falling asleep. Then again, check your posture, you know, bring the head up a little bit, turn the lights up, meditate with the eyes slightly open, just a little bit. You know, we're not talking really wide, but just a little light coming in through the eyelids. Bringing that energy up. And if you're so tired, then, you know, maybe get more sleep or try a different time of day. I think I shared with you last week that for me, I can't meditate in the evening. I mean, I'm kind of doing it here, but I'm really leading it, so I'm awake for that. But if I were to try meditating at home this time of day, I would just be very too tired to do it. So I tend to have my practice first thing in the morning, early in the morning, drink a cup of coffee, wakes me up, and then it's time to sit on the cushion. So finding what works for you. So that works for me. And then the fifth obstacle of meditation has five components to it, and these are negative states of mind. So we talked about attachment, anger or aversion together, pride, jealousy, ignorance, and with ignorance is kind of closed-mindedness or confusion. And so with these, then, we think about what those meanings are. So with attachment, for instance, and I'm not going to go through all of these again, but for attachment, for instance, attachment is essentially exaggerating those positive qualities in something to the point where it's kind of unrealistic. So then stepping back and understanding that, you know, those we're attached to something because we're putting more expectations on those qualities than are actually there. So just kind of revisiting that. And then we did a meditation where we actually mentally transform a negative experience into hopefully a more positive one. And we're going to revisit that meditation tonight. All right, so that kind of recapped last week. I would like to go ahead and go into a short breathing meditation, one that we've done several times called counting the breaths. So a breathing meditation does help to prepare our minds for our practice. So we're going to just do a quick breathing meditation where we just count the breaths. So if it's comfortable to you to lengthen your breath, that's fine. Otherwise, just keep your breath at kind of its normal pace, its normal rhythm, natural rhythm, and just count. So there's a couple of different ways to do a counting the breath meditation. One is that you inhale and then exhale and mentally count one on the exhale. Or you can do the reverse, where you're going to exhale and then inhale. And so this is kind of interesting because this goes back to these obstacles of meditation. So for the first one, where you inhale, exhale, and count, that's more calming, bringing your energy down. So if your mind is really alert and awake, that might be the one you want to do. if you're feeling kind of sleepy and, you know, you have that dullness that we just talked about, then do it the opposite way. So you're going to exhale and then inhale, one. And that counting on the inhale is more like a wake-up call. Okay, so try it, you know, play with it, see what you think. Count as high as you want. If this is something that kind of works for you, you know, try to maybe make it up to 21 breaths, you know, inhaling and exhaling. If this is more challenging, that's perfectly fine. Just see how far you get, maybe 5. If at any point you lose your count, just don't worry about it, let it go, and then start back at 1 and start over again. All right, so check your posture. We've talked about our 7-point posture. I'm not going to go into all 7 points right now, but if you're in a chair, it's best to have your back off of the back of the chair and kind of sit forward just a little bit so the spine's nice and tall. The spine is really the most important part for our posture. If you are in a chair also, if the feet aren't already kind of naturally fully supported on the floor, you might want to bring a cushion under your feet just to bring those knees up a little bit, and cushions are all over the place, so feel free to grab one. So you want to have, if you're sitting in a chair, you want to have the knees slightly above the level of the hips, okay, where the hip crease is. It's opposite if you're sitting on the floor. So if you're on the floor, ideally you want to have the knees lower than the hips. If that's not possible, that's fine, but I would recommend maybe supporting those knees if they're up higher with some cushions, just so the weight of the legs and the knees can rest on something. It just makes it a little bit more comfortable on the lower back and the spine and the hip area. So find a position that's comfortable. Again, the more physically comfortable you can get in your meditation posture, the more successful your meditation is going to be, because then you don't have these distractions of, oh, my neck hurts, oh, my back hurts, oh, my knee hurts, or whatever it is, or something has fallen asleep, you know, anything like that. So the more comfortable you can get physically, the less that will become a distraction. So find a meditation posture that works for you. If you want to add the hand mudra that we do in this class, left palm is up, right hand rest into it, thumb tips touch, and then those hands just rest right in your lap. But that's just an option. You can really place your hands wherever you'd like them to be. So gently close the eyes, again, either all the way or perhaps just enabling a little bit of light to come in between the eyelids. If you're doing that, just kind of cast your gaze down at the floor. Chin is slightly tucked. Shoulders are relaxed. Forehead is relaxed. Jaw is relaxed. I like to start with 3 deep centering breaths. Inhaling through the nose. Exhaling through the nose. With these 3 deep centering breaths, invite yourself into this time, into this space, and give yourself the opportunity to really be here. So you've chosen to be here. Allow yourself to be fully engaged in this opportunity, in this time that you've set aside for yourself. Okay, and after those 3 or 4 centering breaths, allow your breath for a moment to just settle into its natural rhythm. And then just gently begin the meditation of counting the breaths. Again, you may choose to inhale, exhale 1, inhale, exhale 2, or try it the reverse. Exhale, inhale, 1. Keep going, bringing your mind back to your breath, back to counting your breaths over and over. Try to stay focused on your breath. And simply start back at one if you've lost track. And stay with your breath, counting inhales and exhales. Bringing the mind back to its focus over and over, as many times as necessary. And you can let the counting go, but just stay with the meditation for a moment, keeping the mind quiet and calm. And now that we've prepared the mind, we're going to set a positive motivation for our time together. So just start by simply looking within and examine just kind of what comes up of why you're here. What brought you here tonight? Why you're participating in this class? Why you're participating in learning more about meditation? And just look inside and see what arises. There may be lots of reasons and motivations floating around in your mind, and that's perfectly fine. But the more positive a motivation we can generate within ourselves, the more positive will be the actions arising from that motivation. And therefore, the more we can broaden our motivation to include others, the more positive it becomes. So take a few moments now to to generate just such a positive motivation, thinking how this meditation session and this class, this course, might become beneficial not only for ourselves, but others around us, others whose lives we touch, our loved ones, people we work with, our friends, our family, folks we come in contact with, but even beyond that, all the beings in the world, from tiny little ants to the great blue whales that swim in the ocean, think and really make it big. And then just gently release your meditation, open your eyes. Okay, so how's everyone doing so far? Good? All right. And I did want to mention, I noticed you moved down to a cushion. Feel free to move around. If you start in a chair and you want to try meditating on a cushion, fine, you know, do whatever you want. If you start on the floor and you think, oh, I'm not feeling too comfortable, jump into a chair. Feel free to move around and find what works for you, certainly. All right, so we're going to do a quick review of the 9-round breathing. This is a breathing meditation that's used a lot in meditation and specifically in the Mahayana Buddhist practice. So if you, you know, delve into other areas here at the Kadampa Center, this will probably come up. Even if you don't follow that path, it's a great way to really focus the mind. For me, if I'm practicing 9-round breathing, it's hard for me to think of anything else because there's a lot going on with this breathing meditation. So it's an alternate nostril breathing technique, which in and of itself might be a little strange or weird. So you're going to inhale through one side, exhale through the other side, inhaling through one nostril, exhaling through the other nostril. So that in and of itself, for me, I really have to concentrate and pay attention. And therefore, other things can just drop away, and you can really bring your awareness and your focus to that breath and what you're doing with it. So I know when we first covered it, we talked about the channels that run through the body. And for some, that's a bit of a hindrance. It's like it doesn't work, or, you know, just you can't really grasp that or don't like it or whatever. And I kind of truthfully fall into that category myself. So if that doesn't work for you, don't worry about it. Don't do it. If it does work for you, you can visualize these energy channels running through your body. So there's the main energy channel, or the central one, that would start like up here, right above the eyebrows, but this would be internal, and kind of come up like the handle of an umbrella and then run right down the center of your body to just below the navel, running right along inside or right just in front of the spine. So that's the main energy channel. And what color did we say that one was? White. Remember, this doesn't work for me. So I don't remember the colors, I have to admit. Is that right, Chris? White? Blue? Okay, thank you. That's embarrassing. And then there's the right energy channel that would come, start at the nostril, come up again, kind of like the handle of an umbrella, and run along the right side of that main energy channel. And that one is what color? Red. Yay, thank you, guys. And then the left one, it must be the white one, right? And so, again, that one's at the left nostril, and then this is internal and running down. And then at the bottom, just below that navel, 4-finger widths below the navel, which, again, that you can play with that, they connect. Okay, so those would be the channels. Again, if that works for you, great, and I don't want, you know, my biases to influence you one way or the other. So try it. Try it out and see if it works for you. The other thing that you can do with 9-round breathing is, and we're going to delve into this later on tonight with a visualization meditation, you can visualize it as you're inhaling like all the purity, all positiveness, you know, white, purifying light coming in on your inhale, and with your exhale, you're exhaling all the negativities, and you can visualize that in the form of black smoke, again, if that works for you. So there's a couple of different options there. Or you can just simply concentrate on breathing, you know, inhaling through one side, exhaling through the other. So the way that the nine-round breath works, for those of you who haven't practiced it yet, we're going to first start by closing off the left nostril and inhaling through the right. And then you switch and you exhale left. And this can be done using your index finger, and it's a very gentle closing off of the nostril, okay? It's not like pressing really hard, just very gently pressing the nostrils and close, and then allowing them to open. So you can do it with your index finger moving back and forth. You can switch off. I like to use ring finger and thumb, switching off this way. It's totally up to you. I think here at Kadampa Center, it's usually taught with index finger, right? I learned it this way. So in a yoga practice, had nothing to do with Kadampa Center. So your choice, whatever's comfortable for you. We usually will use our right hand, just traditionally that's the hand that was used. But again, whatever works for you. So with nine round, we're going to do three sets of closing off the left nostril and inhaling right, exhale left, inhale right, exhale left, three times. And then we're going to switch, and we're going to inhale left, exhale right, inhale left, exhale right, and then you drop your hands and you inhale through both nostrils three times. Okay, so does everyone get that? Did I say it too fast? All right, so the first one, we inhale right, exhale left, inhale right, exhale left, inhale right, exhale left, switch, inhale left, exhale right, inhale left, exhale right, inhale left, exhale right, drop hands, both nostrils. So let's do, you know, we're going to be doing it in our own time with our own breath. If you can get in three rounds of the nine-round breath, go ahead and do three full rounds. If you only make it through two, that's fine. If you only make it through one, that's fine. If at any point in time you feel like, this is throwing off my breathing and this is uncomfortable, just let it go, sit, and just go back to counting your breaths, okay? All right, so go ahead and find your meditation posture again. Spine is nice and tall. Legs are in a comfortable position. Ideally, if you're on the floor, knees are below the hips. If they're not, support them with cushions. If you're in a chair, ideally knees are slightly above the hips, hip creases. Spines are tall. Shoulders are relaxed. Chin is slightly tucked, so the back of the neck is nice and long. Shoulders are relaxed. Jaws relaxed. Oh, don't forget to place the tongue kind of at the roof of the mouth, just resting gently on the palate. Jaw is nice and soft, though. Eyes are either fully closed, if that works best for you, or slightly open, just allowing a little tiny bit of light to come into those eyelids. So once you find your meditation posture, go ahead and in your own time, in your own breath, you can start your nine-round breathing. If you want to start with those three centering breaths, feel free. And then gradually start your nine-round breathing. Inhaling right, exhaling left. Go ahead and finish up your round that you're on. And then just allow your breathing to return to its natural rhythm. Release from that breathing meditation. Relax. Stretch if you need to. Open the eyes. Okay. So that one is a great practice to calm not only the mind but the physical body. So if you find yourself in a situation, perhaps, you know, something startling or scary or an anger issue has arisen, or, you know, you're nervous. Like, I remember doing it before. I did a job interview. You know, I just had to, like, go somewhere quiet and do a few rounds of 9-round breathing. And it really calms not only the mind, but the physical body as well. So if you have that sense of, like, you know, either agitation, anger, whatever it is, stress, some rounds of 9-round breathing are an amazing antidote to kind of bring everything a little bit calmer, de-stress. So it's a really good tool to use should you find yourself in that situation, which most of us occasionally do. And then adding, you know, as you become more and more comfortable with it and, you know, you want to try things out, you can either, again, add the visualization of those inner channels or the visualization of inhaling the pure light energy, exhaling negativity, wherever you want to go with it. So there's always more, always deeper to go. Any questions about 9-round breathing? It's a good one. It's a good one. Everyone feel okay with it? It tends not to work if you have sinus issues or a bad cold or, you know, anything like that. Sometimes it's good to have some tissues around to clear everything out before you start that practice. So any questions about it before we go on? Okay. Great. All right. So quick review. I wasn't here week 2. David Mackley's subbed for me. And during that class, it's my understanding, y'all touched on the nature of mind and or consciousness as far as Buddhist philosophy goes. So I just wanted to do a little bit of review of that subject before we continue delving into other things. Hang on, let me just get to the right place in my notes. All right. Okay, so when you hear the term mind in Buddhist philosophy, the mind is a non-physical entity, and its purpose is to be clear and knowing. And so when we think of our physical bodies, we may think of our brains. And our brain is obviously something physical. Mind is non-physical, but it's very closely tied to the brain and our other sense organs. So, you know, we as humans are very visual. You know, I'm looking at all you. You're looking at me. You're looking at the things in the room. As we go through our day-to-day lives, you know, we're very visual, those of us who are sighted. And so not only visual, but our other sense organs. So we're listening, we're contemplating. So again, this non-physical form, this non-physical physical entity, I shouldn't say form because it's not physical, is the thing that is processing these stimulations. So its natural nature is to be completely clear and free of any obscurations or wrong views or however you want to look at it. And then it's also ready to know and to become aware of things. And again, it works with our physical bodies, our physical brain, our physical senses of, you know, sight, hearing, touch, taste, all of those. But keep in mind that, that's funny, keep in mind that the mind is non-physical. And so then in Buddhist philosophy, the mind also, each moment of mind is dependent on the moment prior to it. So you can think of the mind as this continuous flow. And you've heard the term stream of thought, and that's pretty much what it is. So you might imagine like a river, and it's just flowing and flowing and flowing. It's beginningless and endless, mind is. And again, each moment of mind arises from that previous moment of mind. So in meditation practice, as I've, you know, mentioned a couple of times in previous classes, you know, these moments of mind then with a meditation practice, we're able to slow it down, so to say, and allow some space. So before we react in that next moment of mind, we can pause intentionally and decide how we're going to react. And so in Buddhist philosophy and in with meditation, the whole purpose is to have more positive states of mind and get rid of the negative states of mind. And so if something is arising in our previous mind state, we can have that space to decide and make a choice how we're going to react, in a positive way or a negative way, okay? And then we're imprinting our minds with more and more and more positive imprints. And by doing so, then, we're of more benefit to ourselves and others around us. And so when we think of mind in Buddhist philosophy, and I'm going to touch on Buddhist philosophy just for a moment, and then we'll kind of leave it. The whole goal of a Buddhist meditation practice is to become a Buddha, to become an enlightened being. And an enlightened being is one who has a mind free of all the obscurations, so all negativities. And so all of us, according to Buddhist philosophy, all living beings have Buddha nature. So we have that within ourselves. It's just a matter of getting rid of the obscurations, the negativities, and building those more positive traits and habits, okay? So just to touch on that before we then talk about the meditation we did last week, transforming negative experience into positive. So by creating a bit more space between these mind moments, oh, and by the way, in Buddhist philosophy, it said that in a finger snap, there are 65 mind moments. So in a that quick, there's 65 things that just went through my mind, which is, you know, it's big and it seems very unmanageable. And, you know, when we really start to look at our minds, especially when we're sitting on a cushion and thinking about it and looking at our minds, it can be overwhelming. And sometimes as you begin a meditation practice, things will come up and, you know, suddenly you find yourself maybe very emotional or angry or distraught or, you know, feeling hopeless because it's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on. So kind of stepping back and allowing that feeling to pass. And then bringing your mind back to your meditation. So don't follow those feelings necessarily if you're in the middle of a meditation practice, but instead, oh, okay, I see that's arising, and then let it go and bring your mind back to whatever your meditation is. If you find that it's just too overwhelming, then it's time to just take a break and in the meditation practice, pick it up again, you know, later or the next day. So when we begin a meditation practice and, you know, we're moving along with things, hopefully then the space in which we're creating, and I'm saying space, it's still very rapid, but at least it's more of an awareness. You can think of it as that way, an awareness of these mind moments and what's arising. Is it something positive? Is it something negative? How am I going to react? And here I can make a choice of how I'm going to react. And then, you know, we can take that practice that we're developing and becoming more and more familiar with from our meditation cushion into our daily lives, so that when we're interacting with others, maybe we can take a step back and react in a different way. All right, so any questions about that? So after this session, and we touched on this a little bit before class, there is a Buddhism in a Nutshell class, and that's another 5-week program. So it'll touch on this a little bit more. And then if you want to go even deeper, there's the Discovering Buddhism course, which is a 2-week course. And I think Mind and Its Potential, what's that? 2 years for Discovering Buddhism, yeah. But after this one, Buddhism in a Nutshell starts. So in Discovering Buddhism, there's basically 13 modules. And so each of the modules lasts about 5 weeks, and then there may be a practice day of meditations that go with that module. And so Mind and Its Potential is just one of those modules. So it goes into it a lot deeper in Discovering Buddhism. But again, there's lots of books and things available if you want to delve into it more. We're just kind of touching the surface. But is that sort of making sense a little bit about how mind is viewed? And if you hear the term consciousness and mind, those are interchangeable in Buddhist context. Okay. So any questions so far? All right, so we're going to go ahead, and if something comes up, I know I'm moving fast, but if something comes up, don't hesitate to, you know, raise your hand and ask me later, or come and see me after class as well. So we're going to go ahead and practice that meditation we did last week, where we transform a negative experience into a positive one. So find your meditation posture again. Get comfortable. Again, if you need to stretch out, stretch. And just to review, if you're coming back to Kadampa Center for other programs, other classes, other teachings, there are some, just kind of general, kind of behavioral things. And one is that the altar behind me and all the images and statues and everything are here to simply remind us of positive states of mind. And so these are images that are imprinting on our minds to imprint more positive states of mind. And so we treat everything on the altar and around us, all these images on the walls and everything, with respect. There's 84,000 teachings from the Buddha, and those are all in those texts that go up that side of the altar, across the top over there, and then down the other side. They're all up there, 84,000 teachings. And so in order to, kind of remember that respect, it's practiced that we don't point the soles of our feet at the altar. So if you do want to stretch, just, stretch off to the side a little bit rather than straight at the altar. Pointing at the altar like this is also kind of frowned upon. So indicating, with these things, with an open palm is another practice. Just to show respect to our monks and nuns, if you come when they're here, dressing in a way and such that you're respecting their vows of celibacy is another thing. So just these are some practices just to be aware of. And if you have questions, always find someone who's, usually we have on like a lanyard with a name tag. You can find someone who you can ask questions to like that if you're not sure. All right, so find your meditation posture. Review those 7 points. Again, you've got your legs. Let's see if I can remember them. That's one. So situate your legs in a way that's comfortable. and conducive to your meditation posture. Your spine is nice and tall. We're reaching out through the crown of the head. And again, the crown of the head is more towards the back part of the head, so the back of the neck is nice and long. And then you've got your eyes. You got to decide if you're going to meditate with them fully closed or slightly opened. The jaw is relaxed. The tongue rests at the upper palate. This helps with swallowing and saliva buildup. Let's see, the arms are in a position that are kind of, elbows are out from your body, hands are in that mudra described earlier, or just simply up or down on your knees, whatever's comfortable for you. And I don't know if that's seven, but hopefully I've touched on most of them. Chin is pointed or tucked very slightly, not way down towards the chest, but just ever so slightly towards the chest, just to lengthen the back of the neck. So the back of the neck is nice and long. All right, and begin with those deep centering breaths, full deep inhales, full deep exhales through the nose. Again, inviting yourself into this time, into this space, inviting yourself to practice and participate in this meditation, transforming negative experiences into positive. As your mind becomes calm and clear, gently allow the breath to settle into its natural rhythm. And then just take a few moments to think about your day today or yesterday or within the past, you know, today or within the past day or two. And find a difficult situation that may have arisen. Just one. Pick one and stick with that one. And maybe the situation doesn't have to be, you know, something major, but something in which you might have become impatient. Maybe it's a little stronger and you lost your temper or said something mean to someone. Maybe you saw someone as a problem or an enemy. And remember, there's no need to begin to meditate on that situation that you're recalling. You're just simply recalling some memories here. So we don't want to delve into like a negative meditation where we're reliving and rehashing this event and imprinting negative qualities on our mind. But you're just recalling, using your memories, this situation and how it unfolded. Situation is over. So just let it be in the past. But do remember what happened from beginning to end. And if there's not a situation that you have with somebody, you know, maybe at work or your family life or friends, then maybe, you know, it's something that's happening in the news. So if you've had a great couple of days and you really don't have a situation, then maybe you can recall something that has bothered you that's happening in the news. So just watch and observe your mind. Observe your behavior, your mental and emotional state of mind, even your physical. Sometimes when we recall these things, we feel it in our bodies. Our breathing becomes more labored. We can feel our blood pressure rising. So observe, be the observer. Observe your mind. Observe your physical body as you replay the situation. Using techniques of mindfulness that we've talked about in previous classes. And now take a moment to think about the disadvantages and harmful nature of any negative responses that took place. How did you feel? when you're being impatient or angry or frustrated? Did you feel happy? Were you comfortable? Were you at peace? And if that situation led to angry words, what effect did it have on you? On others that may have been around? Did it make them happy? Did it make the situation easier? Did these negative feelings that came up help anyone, yourself, others? Did it help to feel good and understand each other better? Most likely the answer is no. And now let those memories and any emotions that may have arisen in recalling that event, let it go. And think about how you might have handled the situation differently. With a calm, open attitude, without anger, without impatience, without resentment. Really thinking about how your experience and others might have been completely different had you reacted differently. Coming from a place of calmness, a place of respect, understanding perhaps the other's point of view. And even if you still disagree, just perhaps being okay that the other person might have a different point of view from you. And take a moment to really generate, like intentionally generate a strong feeling of how extraordinary it would be if we were all able to manage difficult situations with a calm and peaceful mind that's not controlled by anger or agitation or frustration, resentment. How amazing would that be? And so take your situation that you've imagined and are recalling and replay it again from beginning to end, imagining it completely differently now. Relive the situation, imagine yourself reacting perfectly. Generating warmth and openness towards the other person, other people. Calm, balanced, free of anger, free of agitation. And what would the outcome be? What kind of experience would have resulted for you and for the others involved? And lastly, make a strong determination that the next time you encounter difficulties, you may try out some patience. You might take a breath, step back, find that space, and decide to respond instead with patience, kindness, and an open-mindedness, an open heart. And you may even, as you develop your meditation practice, make a determination that should you find yourself in an agitated state, when a negative situation arises in your life, that you can go back to this meditation and practice this meditation on your own. Gradually, again, becoming familiarizing yourself with kindness, balance, patience, rather than reacting with negative responses. You're going to retrain your mind to react differently. And we'll wrap up this meditation with a quick dedication that any positive energy or insights gained from the meditation will be a benefit to yourself and all living beings. And when you're ready, relax your meditation, gently open your eyes, stretch if you need to. Okay, so transforming negative experiences into positive. So that's one, that's a good one just to take with you on a day-to-day basis and just kind of, you know, a real quick shift in your response. All right, so now we're going to, let me get back to where we are tonight. We're going to talk about kind of the practicality or logistics of setting up a meditation session. And there's four parts. And this is one of the handouts that you can find online. Let's see here. So four very simple, easy parts to setting up a meditation session. And we've talked about it, and we've done them tonight and in previous classes. So can I get someone to come up and write on the whiteboard who doesn't mind being up here and who has decent handwriting? Anyone up for it? No. Anyone want to come and transcribe? Thank you. All right. There's just four steps. It's not a lot. So four parts to setting up a meditation session. So you can just put setting up meditation session, and then we'll do 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you for doing this. So the first one is preparation. What do you think preparation is all about? We've done it tonight a couple different times. Setting a time, yes, absolutely. So preparation does include setting a time and deciding your time and make it realistic. You know, again, if you've got 5 kids at home and 3 dogs and you've got to get to work on time, you know, be realistic in how long you're going to sit on a cushion. It might be 2 or 5 minutes. If you have a bit more space in your life, then maybe you can lengthen that. So kind of see what works for you. As a beginner, I would say try 10 minutes. See if that works. If 10 minutes is good and you got this, you know, bump it up. Keep bumping it up. So setting aside some time. Ideally, you want to try to set aside time at the same time every day. So that's ideal. That's kind of your target. You know, as you're starting this, though, play around with it. See what's going to work for you in your life at home. Preparation. We also prepare our minds and our bodies for our meditation practice. So anyone have an idea of how we prepare our mind? What have we been doing at the beginning of every single meditation we've done? What? Who said it? Yeah, so breathing, yeah, it's just a quick breathing meditation. It can be the centering breaths. It can be a 9-round breathing meditation. It can be counting the breaths. It can be just sitting with your breath. So some type of breathing meditation prepares your mind. It just brings in a little bit of calmness to your mind. It kind of is that little trigger that, oh, mind, now we're getting ready to do this. So it's that, you know, just that trigger that that now it's time to go into this meditation. So breathing, and then for our physical bodies, what do? Before we begin our meditation, comfortable position. Yes. Yeah. So you can find a comfortable position. You can go through that 7-point posture. You know, whatever works for you. So review, and again, the 7-point posture is also one of the handouts that you can access online if you haven't already. So comfortable position, 7-point seated posture. Just put 7-point up there so we know to kind of remember that. Yeah, thank you. So that's our preparation step. And then, yes. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah, and that's the meditation. The actual meditation is one of the later steps. So, but yeah, doing it ahead of time so you don't get all ready and then it's like, oh, what am I doing? Yeah, good idea. Absolutely. Yeah. So, step number 2 is setting your motivation. So we've done that, you know, over and over again in class as well. So setting your motivation and remembering to expand that out. So whatever your motivation is, you know, I want to have less stress in my life. I want to be kinder to others. Whatever it is, if it's all about you, that's fine. We're, you know, part of these other beings in the world. But then expand it out intentionally so that, you know, you're not only being a benefit and doing this practice for yourself, but for those around you, for your loved ones. I mean, how, you know, of course we want to be the best person we can be with our loved ones, but then not only our loved ones, the people we work with, the people we come in contact with randomly, you know, all the little beings out in the world, the birds and the butterflies and everything else out there, just expanding that kindness and being benefit to everything that's out there. So make it big, as big as you're willing to go. All right, and then add for setting your motivation, include others. Yeah. Oh, you've got develop compassion. Good, yeah. Sorry, I didn't see you wrote that. That's perfect. Yes, including others, making it big and broad. And then step number 3 is our actual meditation. And so whatever that meditation's going to be, that you've decided ahead of time in your preparation, now you're going to do it. So it might be an analytical meditation where you're going to intentionally contemplate something. You know, as you go, if you decide to go deeper into a Buddhist philosophy, there's all kinds of analytical meditations, and that's actually one of the things I really like about studying Buddhism is that you're thinking about stuff. You know, you're not just sitting on a cushion like, I'm not going to think about anything. That's not really meditation. But you're contemplating. You're really like working the brain, the mind, and thinking about it and being very intentional about it. So it could be an analytical meditation. It could be a concentration meditation. Concentration meditations where, you know, and sometimes with an analytical meditation, you're thinking about a subject. Let's say death. That's a really good one in Buddhist. Buddhism. And so you're thinking about it, contemplating it, and then, you know, you really hone in on something. You've like got it. Then you can bring your awareness to that and really concentrate and become, you know, into that single-pointed concentration. Either way, yeah, because it's going to be encompassed wherever. So whatever your meditation is, whatever the topic is, whatever your object is, that's, you know, step three, kind of the main part of this meditation session. And then the last one, step four, what do we do at the end? What? Yeah, well, that's the actual meditation, step number three, but we bookend our meditation session with our motivation, and at the end, we, y'all gotten this one yet? Dedicate it. Dedicate any of that positive energy, any of the positive, you know, influence that came out of that meditation, dedicate it to yourself, to others. Again, expand it out, make that dedication big. And basically, the motivation step two. So step four is just the dedication. Yeah, no, you're fine. Thank you. You don't have to rewrite dedication. It's fine over there. Yeah, so dedicate. So think of it as like your meditation is kind of in the middle, or let me do it this way, in the middle, and you're bookending it with the motivation at the beginning and the dedication at the end, and it kind of seals it all together in a nice package. So the motivation is, you know, expanding it out to be a benefit to everything. It kind of sets up the motivation to be positive. And again, the whole point of a meditation is to create positive mindsets and not negative ones. You certainly can, and, you know, we do occasionally go into a negative meditation where, you know, something happened to us. We had a fight with someone, you know, we'll like, stew on it, and we think about it, and we're just like, we're reliving it over and over. That in and of itself is kind of a meditation. So you want to be careful with that, because you're setting yourself up to just have, you know, stronger and stronger and stronger negative mindset, negative mind imprints. And that's what we really want to get away from. So let those negative meditations go. Let them go. And that's where this transforming negative experiences into positive comes in handy. All right. So that is how you set up a meditation session. Now, thank you, by the way. What's your name? Jason, thank you. So if you're setting up a meditation practice at home, and this is something you want to, you know, begin to start to practice and get into, then it's also important, you know, not only to do these four steps, but to also decide, you know, figure out a place in your home. And this was a challenge for me, because, you know, I have, like, you know, my bedroom and my kids' bedrooms and the bathrooms and then the common areas, like living room, kitchen, dining room. And it was a bit of a challenge. Like, I didn't have a little spare room that, you know, I could go and set up a whole meditation area for. If you have that, awesome, that's great. Not all of us do. But so then eke out, you know, a certain space in your home, whether, you know, no matter where it is. Ideally free from other distractions. So, you know, a place where maybe, if, you know, depending on what time you're meditating, a place where the TV is not going to be on, or the TV's not in the room, or the radio's not in there, or whatever. So free from as many distractions. If you have, you know, kids that are running around in the, you know, in the morning, or whenever you're practicing, you know, eking out that space and that time. So this is something you're going to have to work with at home and figure out what works best for you. And I think I've mentioned that, you know, getting up 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30, 45 minutes earlier, it sounds awful, but once you start to do it, it becomes normal and natural. And then it's not getting up early anymore. That's just the normal time. So, you know, try it out. So find in a time, finding a little place in your environment that works for you, and then trying to do it every day. So, you know, that number one obstacle of laziness creeps in, and it happens, you know, happens to everybody. Geshe-la, our resident monk, says it happens to him. You know, you get up and you think, oh, I don't want to do it today. Or, you know, maybe you've gone on vacation. This just happened to me because I was in Montana for a week. You go on vacation and then you come back and it's like, oh, I'll start, you know, next week. I'll get back into it next week. So you just got to like bite the bullet and do it. Yeah. And just, yeah, just and let it go. Don't beat yourself up about, you know, whatever the obstacle is. Just, you know, address it and then start fresh. All right. So finding the time, finding the place, figuring out what works for you as far as, you know, your physical body and what you're sitting on, a cushion. I think I admitted in the first class that one of the obstacles for me was, I don't have one of these cool cushions. And so, you know, I would sit on something else. And then finally, I just bit the bullet and I bought a cushion. And that worked. You know, that made it happen. That made it happen. So figuring out how to make it happen for you, whatever works for you. Let's see here. See if I'm forgetting anything. In the description here that I'm following, some folks think maybe meditating either in bed or on your bed is a good idea, and there's a couple schools of thought. One, that might be your quiet place where there aren't all these other distractions, kids, TV, dogs, whatever. But on the other hand, just be aware that that might turn into an obstacle. Because we think of our beds as a place where it's time to relax, it's time to go to sleep, it's time to turn off our brains. And as, you know, you're learning in a meditation 101 class, meditation is not turning off your brains. Your mind is very, very active in a meditation practice. So if you're thinking about, you know, the bed or the bedroom, just, you know, be aware that that could be an obstacle for you, but maybe not. It might work. You know, setting up, like, you know, what's behind me, the altar, certainly not this elaborate, probably, but, you know, if that helps, if having a little statue of something you like, or Buddha, or a beautiful flower, or whatever it is, something that generates that calm, peaceful mind, you can have that as well, in your meditation space. All right, so any questions about setting up a meditation practice and the steps of doing that? Okay, all right. And if something comes up, you know, just let me know. Again, I'm here after class, and I'll be here next week as well. So another technique that I have, you know, touched on a little bit, and I said we would get to tonight, and we still have about 15 minutes left, is a visualization technique. So in Buddhist philosophy, visualizing, you know, Shakyamuni Buddha, which is the statue directly behind me, is oftentimes a visualization object. And so it's just familiarizing your mind again with that object. You know, if that's not the route you want to take, that's fine. There's plenty of other things to visualize for meditation. And it's something that we do every day. You know, we might visualize, you know, our loved one or a child's face or a child's smile or, you know, something negative that happened, a negative situation that we encountered during our days. So we visualize and imagine and kind of replay things through our minds all the time. This is normal for us, very normal. When we conjure up what we want, you know, for dinner, ooh, I'm going to have like this and that and, you know, something really yummy, we visualize it. We're actually bringing that mental image into our mind. So this is something we do and something that comes natural to us. So like the analytical meditation, I like visualization meditations too, because for me it's very, you know, it gives your mind something to do, something to kind of latch on to. And so, did someone have a question? Okay. All right. So again, with meditation practice, you want to visualize something that's going to stimulate positive mind imprints, positive mindset. So be careful with what you're visualizing and imagining. So developing your skills of visualization with the intention of it being positive is very important. Visualization meditations take all the things that we've talked about already. So it takes concentration. It takes that mindfulness of, you know, for visualizing an object. Again, let's just say the Buddha statue. You know, we have to concentrate on all the different. His head looks like this. Hair is like this. His posture is like this, and so on and so on. So we're thinking about it and concentrating it on it. At the same time, we've got that mindfulness working back here so that if we're like, I wonder what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, then we can catch ourselves and go, oh, wait, his hair looks like this. His eyes look like this, and so on. And we use that mindfulness to bring our minds back. Back over and over to whatever it is we're visualizing. And so we're using those skills of concentration, mindfulness, our imaginations to make a visualization meditation, you know, kind of work. And if things come up, these obstacles come up that we catch with our mindfulness, we can immediately apply those antidotes that we talked about a little bit this class and more extensively last class. So one useful type of a visualization meditation is using light. Okay, and we talked about that a little bit with the 9-round breath. You know, I gave the option of as you inhale, visualize inhaling pure white light. As you exhale, visualize black smoke. So the meditation that we're going to end with tonight is a purification with light meditation. And so with this meditation, we're going to visualize this pure white light or energy coming into our bodies on the inhale. And then we're going to visualize on the exhale, we're getting rid of all of our negativities, any negativities that we've got in our mind, our bodies. And again, this is a mind thing, okay? So it's not really, really happening. It is happening in our minds, okay? So there's not really going to be light, pure white light coming into your body. There's not really going to be black smoke out here, you know? So, but we're just mentally playing this and putting it in our mind stream. So find your comfortable meditation posture. And we will end class with this purification with light meditation. Once you've found your comfortable seated position, go ahead and begin with some type of breathing meditation. A short one, you know, maybe the 3 deep centering breaths, a quick round of 9-round breathing, counting the breaths. Just take a couple minutes to prepare not only the body in your seated meditation, but also the mind. Bring to mind an altruistic motivation for this meditation session, thinking that your meditation not only just for your own individual benefit, but for the benefit of all other beings. Allow your natural rhythm of your breath to reestablish. Breathing normally, naturally, bring your focus to your breath. Contemplating the full, complete duration of the inhale and the exhale. And then as you exhale, imagine that all your negative energy, past mistakes, misconceptions, disturbed emotions, all of this leaves your body with the exhale. Visualize all this negative energy as black smoke. And as it leaves your body, it simply dissipates out into nothingness. And as you continue to breathe out these negativities again and again, feel confident that you're freeing yourself from all of the traces of these negativities, these faults, pain, sickness, obscurations of the mind. It all simply dissipates in the form of black smoke out into nothingness. And as you inhale now, imagine all the positive energy enters your body with the breath in the form of pure, radiant, white light. With each inhale, visualize this light flowing into your body, into every part, every corner, every cell, every atom. And your body gradually becomes clearer, clearer, lighter, and lighter. You inhale the positive in the form of pure, white, radiant light. And exhale the negative in the form of black smoke that dissipates into nothingness. Inhale healing, strength, patience, compassion. Exhale pain, suffering, anger. Inhale that radiant white light. Let it fully envelop all of your entire being. Exhaling negativities in the form of black smoke. Inhale positive energy in the form of that white radiant light. Exhale negative emotions, negative states of mind, let it go. Send it away. And continue to concentrate on this experience. Breathing out the black smoke of problems, illnesses, pain, anger, frustration. And breathe in that white light of purifying, beneficial energy. And gently release that meditation, but just stay with it for a moment. Stay with the feeling. And while sitting with this feeling, just take a moment to dedicate, remembering the positive motivations that we generated at the beginning of class this evening. Think about all the positive energy, all the insights we've learned during the session. May those insights grow within us. May they grow within other living beings, so that they too may experience the benefits of those insights. May that positive energy ripen in such a way that anyone who is unhappy, who is suffering, who is experiencing anxiety might now become happy and experience joy in their lives instead. And continuing that wish that those who are suffering from poverty might have wealth. Those who are hungry might have food. Those who are thirsty might have water and other delicious drinks. May those who are everywhere experience only love and compassion in their hearts for others, and never anger or hatred. And may each of us develop all of our qualities and overcome our flaws, so that we may have the power to bring happiness and well-being to all living beings everywhere. Okay, and when you're ready, just simply relax your meditation. Gently open your eyes when you're ready. And that concludes our 4 of 5 classes. We'll meet again next week on Tuesday, July 3rd. Again, hopefully some of you will be here next week. I know it's July 4th week. I know lots of plans happen that week, but that is our last class of this session. If you have any questions, I'm here, and look forward to hopefully seeing you next week. Thanks, you guys, for coming out tonight.